We will now have our responsive reading from Psalms, found on page 839, Psalms 118. The Lord is my strength and my power. The Lord has become my salvation. There are joyous songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sorely, but has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God, who has given us light.
Lead this procession
with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. We give thanks to the Lord, who is good. For God's steadfast love endures forever.
Our second reading, also from the Hebrew Bible, comes from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 65, 17 through 25. And you can find that, as I hope you will, in the Old Testament of your Pew Bible on page 654. And here's a hint, the image on the front of your bulletin comes from this passage of Isaiah, which is Isaiah's vision of God's new creation. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall be the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountains, says the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is found on page 195 in the New Testament, if you'd like to follow along. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6-13. Now we command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition that they received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. and we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, we worked night and day so that we might not burden any of you. This was not because we do not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command. Anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. You can find it in your pew Bible on page 80 of the New Testament. Hear these words. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I have a riddle for you. Actually, it's probably more of a brain teaser. It causes you to think, I hope. I want to list a group of people, and I want you to figure out what all of these people have in common. I'm going to say their names slowly so you think about them. Isaiah from the Hebrew Bible. Sojourner Truth. Mahatma Gandhi. Martin Luther King Jr. John Denver, Mary Travers, Edward Abbey, Paul from the New Testament, and Jesus of Nazareth. What do all those people have in common? Well, there probably are other things, but what strikes me is that each of those persons was a prophet in his or her own time. First of all, do you recognize these names? There may be a couple that you didn't. How many of you know who Sojourner Truth was? Some of you. Excellent. Sojourner Truth, whose legal name was Isabella Van Wagener, was born in 1797. She died in 1883. She was a free slave, a freed slave, an African-American evangelist and reformer who applied her religious fervor to the abolitionist and women's rights movements. That's from her biography online. It turns out that in 1864, she was received at the White House by President Abraham Lincoln. And Mary Travers, do you know her? Okay, it might help to know that she was one third of Peter, Paul, and Mary. Think about that. Isaiah, Sojourner Truth, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., John Denver, Mary Travers, Edward Abbey, Paul, and Jesus Christ. Each one was a prophet in her or his own time. Each of these individuals recognized that things were not right in the world at the time of their lives. Each one saw injustice and poverty and war and despair and hunger in the world. Each one of these people was emboldened enough to speak truth to power, to try to get people to recognize what was going on and what they needed to do to make things right. Each one of these folks had a vision of what the world could be like if only we would heed their call to justice and peace. Think about the context of these people, the way it was in the world when they were alive, the exile to Babylon, the occupation of the Holy Land by the Roman Empire, slavery and civil war and the disenfranchisement of women, the oppressive colonial rule of Great Britain in India, the continued racism against African Americans and the Vietnam War, the continued exploitation of the environment and God's creation. Think about these words from Jesus that we hear in Luke. When you hear of wars and insurrection, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately. Then Jesus said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues. And there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. These words could well have been used in almost any of the contexts of each of these prophets. And frankly, these words might well be used today to describe the current state of affairs in our world. As you think about that, that brings me to a troubling and fascinating question. For each of these prophets, how did they stay true to their calling? How did they maintain their optimism? How did they keep their hope alive? Each of them fully understood the sobering reality of the world at the time, but each of them had a sense of humor and a sense of humility in the face of this reality. Let me share with you some of their words. I love this one from Sojourner Truth. Where did your Christ come from? From God and a woman. Man had nothing to do with Jesus. And she also said, religion without humanity is poor human stuff. Religion without humanity is poor human stuff. From a more recent prophet, how many of you know Edward Abbey? None of you have read Edward Abbey? Oh my goodness. Monkey Wrench Gang? Seriously? Edward Abbey, I apologize, I'm sorry. Edward Abbey spoke out in the 60s. He was an old, crusty desert lover who literally lived out near Moab, Utah. Some of you know Moab. And he spoke out against the rape of the environment. Those were his words. He was an early environmentalist before it was even appropriate to be such. Anyway, he had some good things to say. He said, when a man's best friend is his dog, that dog has a problem. He also said, what is the purpose of a giant sequoia tree? The purpose of a giant sequoia tree is to provide shade for the tiny titmouse. which is a bird about that big. But he also said, did Edward Abbey, wilderness is not a luxury, but a necessity of the human spirit. And then one that probably won't need an introduction. I just want to read a few parts of this poem. He climbed cathedral mountains. He saw silver clouds below. He saw everything as far as you can see. And they say that he got crazy once and he tried to touch the sun. And he lost a friend, but kept his memory. Now he walks in quiet solitude, the forest and the streams, seeking grace in every step he takes. His sight has turned inside himself to try and understand the serenity of a clear blue mountain lake. And the Colorado Rocky Mountain high, I've seen it rain and fire in the sky. You can talk to God and listen to the casual reply, Rocky Mountain High. And that was indeed John Denver with his song of the same name. Well, you know, you may not agree with my calling all these folks prophets. You may not know who Edward Abbey is, but clearly prophets are in the business of telling the sobering truth about their world, but they must also be grounded in the promise of what can be. They must be grounded in the promise of God's kingdom. Listen to these words that hopefully are familiar. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Throughout human history, prophets come and prophets go. With each prophetic word, wise people listen and take heed. My brothers and sisters, what we know for sure is that things are not as they should be. It is up to us as Christians, as disciples of Jesus Christ, to make things better. There are likely prophets among us here. In the end, God's kingdom will come, but it surely will not be on our time schedule. And yet, we have hope. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen.